This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Let's talk title race. Will City win it? You decide. It's Wednesday the 13th of March. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Adam Booker.
I'm Joe Butfield.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
It's here for good to win! It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, at last, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back to the City Report Podcast. Listeners, hope you're enjoying your week. Happy hump day Wednesday. No match day this midweek, which is a little bit weird. It's got us scraping the barrel a little bit, looking for things to talk about. But I'm sure we can pick straight back up from that weekend fixture. Adam, it's good to see you. Wonderful job on yesterday's show. I enjoyed the tranquility compared to our offering on Sunday. But I want to start with this question for both of us. Was it a good or a bad point at Anfield, what, 72 hours after the fact? Obviously, the dust is well and truly settled, but has your opinion changed any?
I think if August 1st comes around and the fixtures come out and you said, I'll give you a point at Anfield, I would take it every single season. I think the circumstances kind of dictate my emotions a bit more, given that City probably had their chance to put Liverpool to bed and in that first half. And maybe some, you know, as has long been discussed in the past week, some lineup decisions and maybe the mentality of some of the players was a bit different on the day. Things could have gone our way. But at the end of the day, City have won a treble. They've won a domestic treble. They've, you know, won three Premier Leagues on the bounce, all having not won at Anfield. So it's not necessarily something that that previews the end of the world.
Maybe if we'd have won at Anfield, we'd have gone trophyless. Maybe that's how these sort of things work. Joe, sort of, to be honest, it was one of my favourite episodes of the season on Sunday. It was as chaotic as the 90 minutes in Merseyside. I thought it was hilarious. I mean, listeners didn't get to see the part where Ollie Kirsch and I had to actually pause the recording for a minute or two just so we could just sort of calm things back down, because it was getting really heated, as I'm sure most listeners could tell. But, you know, I guess Adam's right in the sense that City getting a point at Anfield in a title race isn't a bad result. You and I shared the opinion going into it that it was a must not lose instead of a must not win. But there is that underlying feeling that the game was there for City. And if it wasn't for their own mistakes, they could have been top of the table now.
Yeah, I think as Adam's just said there, I think if you get told you'll get a point at Anfield, you'd be an idiot not to take it as a City fan, really. But I think that my feeling towards it has kind of changed over the last couple of days. I think at the time I was very much focused on like the performance itself, and like, look, given how bad we were at the time, it was a point that I think we'd have all at half time would have probably just taken it there and then. If you'd have gone at half time, like, never mind before the game, at half time, if you'd have gone, right, you are going to get out of here with a point, I'd have gone, cool, thank you very much. But I just think now I've had a couple of days to look at it and sort of think about what it might mean for the wider context of the title race, which was what we're going to talk about today. I think it's actually, like, it's really bad. Like, it's bad that we, I think it's bad that we didn't win. I think it's, it's put, I've become more pessimistic since the
end of the game. Do you not think Liverpool will be feeling the same though? And obviously the different dimension here is Arsenal. We will get into the bits and bobs and the permutations, but I have a few for my sins, Liverpool supporting friends, and they're like, how did we not win? Yeah. And I guess maybe the Doku incident at the end clouds that judgment a little bit. And if you'd have flipped the halves, we'd have been going, how did we not win? You know, some people are saying, how did we not win? But I reckon Liverpool will be equally frustrated given their injuries and how well they perform.
Yeah, my mate who's a Liverpool fan said the same, really, that obviously with the chances that Diaz in particular had, they're thinking we should have won that. Like, and it's bad that they didn't win. But for me, it comes more down to the team that Liverpool had available to them and the players that they didn't have available to them who... give it 3 weeks' time when we've got the next Premier League game again, because obviously Liverpool are playing the FA Cup, same as us, followed by an international break. Like, Salah's back in. Alisson is probably going to be back in by then. Trent probably going to be back in by then. Like, you're looking at one of the, you know, Robertson's basically back, so their back four will become Trent, Gomez, Van Dijk, Robertson, which is probably their, like, one of their strongest start. Like, basically, it feels like the chance for Liverpool to drop points was this last month, and the fact that we couldn't do it means that we're now in a position where we're now relying on Liverpool's almost full strength squad to go on and drop points between now and the end of the season, which is where my pessimism is coming in, based off how they managed to scrape through when they had four or five key starter players out. But I'm sure that's what we'll get into in a bit more coming up.
I take the point. I think everybody was reeling after that late Nottingham Forest goal, because obviously we had the Manchester derby the day after and we'd have had the chance to, would it have been to go above Liverpool? I think it would have been, wouldn't it? Yeah. And that was just kind of one of those games where you're thinking, oh my God, that those moments decided. I don't think, if we look back, Adam, at the end of the season, City haven't won the league title, I don't think it would be because of Sunday. It would be because of both points that Liverpool picked up earlier on in the campaign, you know, a 99th minute winner against Nottingham Forest, or go back to the sort of pre-Christmas run that City had against big clubs. I know you discussed this with Alex and Luke yesterday. This is a difficult question. I don't know necessarily if there's an answer, but do you feel like City have maybe subconsciously been a little bit complacent this year? Have they lost any hunger? I want to caveat that before I get clipped up again, possibly by a Man City documentary. That isn't me saying it, but I guess it would only be natural, wouldn't it, after having won the treble, for them to maybe just sort of, like I said, subconsciously, psychologically take a percentage off their usual standards.
I think there might be the slightest drop in hunger. And obviously that's totally subconscious. They haven't made the conscious decision of saying, well, we've just won it all. We don't need to put in the same level of effort this time around. But, you know, when City drop points, it's written all over the faces of the players and the staff. Like, they look mortified to drop points, especially when they don't play well. And I think that's probably a positive that I've seen, you know, the Chelsea teams of the past that win the title and then finish 10th the next season. You don't see them with the same kind of urgency week in, week out that I see this City side still having. But as far as kind of, if City don't win the title and we look back on where things went wrong, I think you're right. I think it comes down to that stretch pre-Club World Cup, where City, obviously there was the Palace game, something like a 97th minute penalty that was given away when City had a 2-0 lead in that game and had total control. And we talked about this on yesterday's episode, that treble winning team had this knack of, once they were on top,
it's weird that we're speaking over about that team in the past tense, as in like it's done and dusted.
It feels different.
I totally agree.
This team feels different, and whether it's the setup, you know, there's not that much difference in the playing squad. Obviously, you know, you got a different captain with Gundogan no longer being there, and and Jack Grealish was so pivotal to the way that City played, and he's basically been non-existent this season. But yeah, you know, 9-10 of the players that were a part of that treble winning team are still playing week in, week out, but it feels totally different. And I think it comes down to the fact that City don't seem as ruthless as they were last year, because it's not that City have played poorly for long stretches this season. It's that they've had 15 minutes here and there where they play poorly and they give results away in those 15 minutes.
I know you referenced it yesterday, but the Chelsea away, just that sort of 4 week period, where was it Chelsea away, Liverpool at home, Tottenham at home. Yeah. And then Villa was just a car crash of a performance, but the three games before that, City throwing away leads in the last 15 minutes. Palace is again, as you mentioned, just dropping careless points, and they've been almost impeccable since the turn of the year. And what have they got to show for it? Well, the 1 point off the top. Joe,
can I just say, Amos, you say they've been impeccable, but this kind of winning streak or unbeaten streak that they've been on since essentially the turn of the year, it feels really different. Like, it doesn't feel like they have that sort of momentum like the winning streaks in the past, where it's like, oh, they genuinely might play for three more years and not drop any points. I still see, you know, I consume tons of football media on a weekly basis, obviously for work and for fun. And it's still, you still have people to this day saying, well, you never know, City might go on one of those winning runs. Because the mentality around football at the moment seems to be that City aren't on one of those when they are. They're unbeaten for as long as I can remember, essentially, up to this point. Mm-hmm. But it feels totally different, like, because people are still saying, well, just wait, they might go do it. And it's like, no, I think they've already done it, but the feeling is just, it's weird.
I've kind of had that same feeling sort of consuming football content from non-City football content, is that everyone seems to just have this opinion that it's like, oh, well, like when we were picking up wins against like Everton, like those Bournemouth games, like the, you know, those just easy wins, like, oh, well, you know, this is just an easy formality. Like these are the games that City just turn up and they just win, because they're probably just going to by stealth win the title, because that's kind of what they do when it comes to this. And I just think these people, obviously we're more emotionally invested in what City are doing than these other people necessarily are, but you know, the Bournemouth game did not feel comfortable for the last like 10-15 minutes. Like the Everton game did not have, that first half was terrible. Like this is, you know, people are sort of looking at just City from a results point of view and looking at how we are in previous seasons, just going, well, yeah, they're matching up, like the trend is pretty much there. And in terms of the run that we're on, yeah, it kind of is, but all you have to do is just watch the performances of what we're like now compared to what we were like last season to know that it is just totally different to that treble winning side. Like, we don't have the same, I know we've used this word like probably a record number of times in the last few weeks, but the word control, we just don't have it anymore. Like it doesn't feel like it's there when we come to these games, certainly not the big games. But even then, you know, the games outside of that, as Adam says, we have 15-20 minutes where we'll just be awful, and then those are when we either concede a goal, usually our first shot on target, or we end up just, you know, we end up putting ourselves unnecessarily under a lot of pressure at the end of a game when we're trying to just see it out, which used to be what we could just do for fun. Like if we got a goal in the 30th minute, we could probably just play keep ball for the other 60 and then we'd win, but we don't have that anymore. That just doesn't seem to be a thing we can do. So that's probably why, you know, looking at a title, and when you consider that in the title race this time round, we're not just up against Liverpool, we're not just up against Arsenal, we're up against them both, and we're relying on both of them to, obviously we still have to play Arsenal, which is kind of in our favour in that sense, but we're relying on two teams to have the kind of drop off that we've relied on in the last few years anyway.
That's interesting. I'd take the point that City look a completely different team, and maybe that sort of aura isn't there, but as you've been sort of talking away, I pulled up last season's fixture list, and this weekend, sorry, the one just gone last year, Adam, you'll know it well because it was Crystal Palace away when City needed a, what minute was it? 78th minute Erling Haaland penalty to beat Crystal Palace. And that performance wasn't terrible in the same sense that it was at Anfield. You know, City were, I think they restricted Palace to no shots on target or no shots at all. And you know, they were deserved winners, but they needed a last minute penalty. Going into that game, City were having played a game more, 2 points behind Arsenal at the top of the table. So you could say maybe a similar sort of situation. And maybe the winning run doesn't come. But I guess, Adam, the best part for City at this time of year is to be there. I do think the two teams, three-team title race does make it a little bit more interesting and it's a different dynamic. But maybe I'm providing some copium here. But is it all that bad?
No, it's not. And I want to like drive that point home that we're not having this discussion because City are a bad team or are playing poorly. We're having this discussion because of the standards that they have set in the past 12 yeah. months or so.
Yeah.
And there has been a noticeable drop off from those standards. Obviously, those standards are unbelievable. They're treble winning standards. But no, it's not something to majorly worry about because City don't actually tend to be, you know, this close to the top this time of year. Like last season, I think we were 8 points back. Obviously, Arsenal had we had a few games in hand on Arsenal, but City were 8 points back with 10 games last season. We're a point back with 10 games left this season. That's way better standing if you ask me. But the point that Joe made is that the going up against two different teams, I don't think we've done that in the Pep Guardiola era. It's either been no competitor or Liverpool. So that's a whole different factor. And Arsenal look really, really good. Obviously, we're about 30 minutes from their kickoff in the Champions League as we record this. So who knows what happens there. But
it'd be really funny if they get knocked out. And yeah. probably not great for City's title challenge, to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah. And when you look in, when you look at the run-ins for the three teams, I think it's quite obvious.
Hold that, because we'll go through that in part two. So just hold that thought.
Anyways, there is a chance. There is a scenario in which I see Arsenal and City taking each other out of the title race, essentially, and leaving it for Liverpool on a silver platter. But I'll hold my tongue until part two.
What were you swapping for that not to happen?
Any metaphysical part of my soul, essentially. My dogs, my house, my car, whatever.
Not the dogs, just anything but the dogs. The poor dogs don't deserve that.
City fans
suffering.
Like to sing, I sold my car to Stefan Ortega. I would sell my car to anybody for Liverpool to not win the title this season.
Wonderful. If anyone knows any witch doctors, give us a shout. We could maybe sort that out in the international break. But listeners, for the meantime, stay exactly where you are. We'll be back in the second half of the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. Of course, two more episodes after this one this week. Like I said, no match week in between games. It's Newcastle in the FA Cup at the weekend, so we'll start turning attention to that tomorrow. Joe, let's sort of do a question about the title race in general. I know this has sort of been under the current a little bit throughout our episodes this week. So we're sort of going over points we've already made, but are you more or less confident about City retaining their Premier League title after Sunday's game? And that isn't necessarily whether or not you think they will or they won't, but has your confidence levels gone up or down since that game?
So personally, mine have gone not massively down, but down a little bit. I'd say like 5.
Give us a percentage.
5 to 10% down. I think.
Okay, and what were you at?
I mean, I was probably at like 50 to 60, something like that. I thought I think
that's still high.
I would still back us in this situation just because we've got players who not only have had the experience of being in a title race. Obviously, everyone this year is everyone talking about saying, well, Arsenal have got the experience of being in a title race now, but they still don't have the experience of winning one. And I think that is something that City do have, and not something that Liverpool really have, because the only time that they actually won the title was when they had no competitor. So they've not had that sort of running where they have to win every single game and then won at the other side of it. And even then, the team that took us all the way to the wire in the two seasons that did it in 2019 and 21, that team has just looked... Was it 21 they did it? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, 21. The team they've got now is pretty unrecognisable from that, so I don't think the sort of the experience of the players who did it is there for them. I know that obviously before the game we both agreed that it was a must not lose kind of game rather than a must win. But a win would have really helped. A win would have been such, you know, coming away from that with the 1-0 win or with whatever score it was, getting 3 points there and coming out this weekend top of the table or second to Arsenal, I think we might have been, would we? Either way, we'd have been in a much better position and sort of, because I kind of look at Liverpool, and we'll come to the fixtures in a minute, but I kind of look at Liverpool's run and I'm struggling to see where they're dropping points if they've got almost their full strength 11 back. And given that we didn't take that opportunity to leapfrog Liverpool, leaving it entirely in their hands, I think that could prove to be a bigger issue than necessarily I might have thought before this weekend.
Yeah, Adam, more or less confident?
With City in the past few years, I really have a devil and an angel on my shoulder. The angel is telling me every single time...
What players would be which? Who's the devil, who's the angel?
The angel is Nathan Ake, that's a given. The devil is absolutely okay. Kyle Walker. but in years past, everyone knows I'm not the most optimistic man. In years past, I've always expected the worst, especially in these title races with Liverpool, and City always come out on top. Last season, they were 12 points back at one point. I think Arsenal were, you know, top of the table for like 246 days or something, and they come out on top by 6 points. So the past should be telling me that I should have supreme confidence in City winning this title race. But the present, I would say I'm feeling like it's a 35-40% chance.
Ooh, so not even the majority. That's interesting because I know loads of Opta stats have been flying about. And look, we're fans of statistics in this parish. You know, having, I was going to say employed, but we don't employ him, Andrew Detmer. You have to be kind of, don't you? But at the same time, I don't know how you can predict a 47% chance a team wins the league. I don't know. Maybe someone will explain it to me. Maybe like I'm like an old man shouting at a cloud.
I think it's just a FIFA simulator. I think they set
it does feel a lot like that is the case.
The final 10 games boom, Opta.
Yeah. So if Opta is saying City going to win the league, what's there to be worried about? Okay, let's do the fixtures, guys. City, Liverpool, or Arsenal? Which one do you want to sort of go through first? I'm happy. Well, I'm not happy with either, to be honest. But preference?
Let's start with one of. We'll do City last. I think makes most sense. Let's start with one. Okay. Whichever one you want, dealer's choice.
Cool. So we'll go for Arsenal. And what I want to do is I'm going to read out the game and I want you to, both of you, just say win, loss or draw, the three outcomes that can be possible. So we'll start with the games that have been postponed because of the FA Cup. They were meant to be this weekend. Don't know when they're going to be rescheduled, if it makes any difference at all. But Chelsea at home for Arsenal.
Win.
Win.
Oh, look at that synchronized response then. It was almost robotic. Manchester City away. This is the only fixture that includes three of the two teams playing each other.
Loss.
Yeah, I think loss.
Okay. Luton at home.
Win.
Brighton away.
Win.
Draw.
Ooh.
Win and a draw. Interesting. And Aston Villa at home.
I have a theory that I'll give after we go through all the fixtures. That theory okay. is informing my decisions here.
Cool. Aston Villa at home for Arsenal.
Draw.
Draw.
Okay. Wolves away.
Win.
Win.
Win, okay. Tottenham away.
Draw.
Draw.
Bournemouth at home.
Win.
Win.
Man United away.
Win.
It would be very funny to say loss right now, but I think they'll win.
Second to last game of the season, though, which is interesting. Don't know what Ten Hag and his merry men will be fighting for. Maybe a Europa Conference League spot, but hey. Everton at home, which is, oh, God, if you're going to pick a last game of the season, well, they caused City a few problems, so maybe not. Everton at home.
Yeah, Everton are going to be, they're going to know one way or another whether they're up or down by that point. They'll probably still be up, so they'll be on the beach. So win.
Win.
Cool. I make that given the lowest predicted points. I made that 18, so just bear that in mind because we'll go to Liverpool now, and obviously their disallowed, their rearranged game is against Everton away. Guys, what are we saying for that?
Win.
Win.
Brighton at home.
Win.
Win.
Sheffield United at home.
Win.
Win.
How funny would it be if Sheffield United beat Liverpool away? Man United away.
Win.
Presume it's the same.
Win.
Yep. Crystal Palace at home.
Win.
Win. I might save some time here. Does anybody see Liverpool dropping points between now and the end of the season?
Go on. Keep going.
Okay. Joe?
Because I know that they play Spurs, that's the only place I could potentially see it happening. But ultimately, no, I don't think they lose any games. I think it's wins all the way for Liverpool.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so that would be, what, 30 points added onto their total. You can sit this one out, Joe. Yep. Adam, where are they dropping points then, do you think?
Did you list all of them? I don't have them in front of me.
So we've just done Crystal Palace. So it's Fulham, West Ham, Tottenham, Aston Villa, Wolves. Fulham away, West Ham away, Spurs at home, Aston Villa away, Wolves at home is their remaining matches.
I think they could potentially draw or lose. I think they could potentially lose at Villa away, especially if Villa desperately need points for the top four race, which they very well might.
Question is, are they going to, though, in your mind?
Yes, I'm going to say they drop points at Villa.
Villa,
I'm also going to say,
Villa still in the Europa League, sorry.
Conference League, yeah, they've got Ajax tomorrow.
If they're still in that by then, who knows?
Possibly.
I'm also going to say that they drop points at one of Fulham or West Ham.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would leave them with 25 onto their added total. Can I just say, City.
Objectively, the funniest result is not winning that final game of the season against Wolves at home. Like, Klopp's last game at Anfield, the emotion all getting too much for him, the pressure of it all, that would be, even if they were still won the title.
It's always been Wolves as well.
Yeah. That would be funny.
It has been. This will be the third time, I think it is, for Liverpool. So that puts them on 25 in terms of our sort of predicted. Obviously, Joe, you've got them on 30, and that would win them the title regardless of what happens to City. Yeah, so we can all go home now. If we're taking Adam's prediction here, that puts them on 25, which I think off the top of my head would mean City can only afford to drop points in one game. If I've got my maths
aren't
right
we
there,
level and it, with them on points, or am I tripping?
No, we're one ahead. Yeah. So that would mean that City can have to be almost flawless. And this is City's run. I'll just read it out. In general, Brighton away, obviously the game postponed. Arsenal at home, Aston Villa away, Crystal Palace away, Luton at home, Tottenham away. I mean, game over. Nottingham Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away, West Ham at home. Joe. That's not the nicest of run-ins, is it? And if City do, in this situation, have to go on and win 9 of the last 10, it's looking difficult.
I also think another factor here is if we're going to do that, and we're only going to get, say if we do only get one draw, that is what we can get away with, we need to really improve our goal difference for that to actually still be fine. Because if we get one draw, then we're level on points with Liverpool. Going off this prediction, we're level on points with Liverpool, and we're going to need more goals than them for that not to just mean that we lose the league anyway. So, but looking at going through that fixture list, Spurs away is nailed on points dropped. Whether it's a loss or a draw, I'm writing it off in my head now. There's no point. Like it's done. We've dropped points there somewhere. Villa away. I know Villa are in pretty ropey form at the moment, but I just think that whatever they did last time, if they're going to execute a similar game plan and we're not in kind of really sort of, if we haven't found a plan that seems to be like something that looks like a semblance of what we were like last season, I think that could probably find us unstuck again. And obviously the other big one is Arsenal. But I think, as me and Adam both predicted when it came to Arsenal's fixture list, we both reckon we'll probably come out that winners. But yeah, I think Villa and Spurs are the two. I think whether performances are very convincing or not, I think we should still probably comfortably win all the games against the rest of the teams in that running. They're teams that we really should be beating on paper. And I think we've done quite well in this run that we have been on. Even if the big six games have disappointed us, we still put those teams away and still won those games. So I'm hoping that we just keep doing that to the end of the season. But I think really it's going to come down to Villa and Spurs for me.
Adam, are you going to tell me that City beating Arsenal gives Liverpool the league?
No, that was a bit of schadenfreude, I think. But what I will say is that I'm gonna put on my positivity cap here for a moment.
After 2 years, we've done it.
Take a screenshot. This is rare. What I will say is, going through the fixture list like that and giving the results out on paper is meaningless, because all of the title races that I remember City winning all the way back to the Mancini era, our title rivals dropped points in the games we didn't expect them to. Particularly in all these years with Liverpool, you look at Arsenal last season, dropping points at home to Southampton, who were either already relegated or deep in the relegation zone at that point, dropping points to West Ham, who were relegation threatened. Liverpool notoriously would win all the games they were expected to win. I remember Hugo Lloris throwing the ball into his net at Anfield at one point. And then a week later...
Which goalkeeper didn't, though?
I know.
That's the real question.
And then a week later, you know, they'll drop points to the team in 16th. So these title swinging moments always come when you don't expect them. It's never Liverpool going to Old Trafford where you think, oh, United might get something here and turn the title race. It's never those games. It's always the Palace away or Fulham at home. It's always when you least expect it. I think it's not necessarily pointless, but don't work yourself up into a tizzy looking at the fixture list, because it's never when you expect it.
I guess part of the question could be whether or not City are the team this time around who drop points when you're not expecting it. You know, we have spoke about fragilities and maybe subconscious complacency during this episode. I'm going to make the case for Arsenal. I think if I'm Arsenal and I want to be heading into a title race against City, I would like a Liverpool team there to just maybe take the attention off a little bit, because this may sound crazy, but I think Arsenal are the best team in the league so far this season. Liverpool's performances have warranted drop points. They just haven't delivered them. Arsenal recently, although they're playing against absolute dross. At the same time, they are sort of looking good. I guess final word then, Joe. Who's going to win the league?
Liverpool, yeah.
Plenty to change, but it's still Liverpool. After they go on a 10-win streak.
10-win run, it's happening. get yourselves ready for it. Mo Salah is you little dancer. He's going to be there, loving life. I'm going to switch off that final weekend if that's the case. I've got a question.
Yeah. I've got a question for Adam, who looks like he's having an existential crisis at the thought of it. What would be worse, a sort of 6-week procession for Liverpool to a title, or a last day, last 10 minutes win akin to sort of Aston Villa at home for us a couple of years ago?
There's a correct answer.
Which one would you prefer?
I would prefer the 6-week procession.
Yes. 100%. At least we can all mentally prepare for
because
that.
Because I've been very vocal
about
this.
What if it wasn't City involved on the final day?
I still think 6-week procession.
Yeah.
I've been very vocal about this for basically the entirety of the existence of this podcast, which is I am hell-bent on, not that I play any role in this, but in my head, I'm hell-bent on ensuring that the chasm between the Pep Guardiola era at City and the Liverpool era, the Jurgen Klopp era at Liverpool, is so big that the conversation just kind of gets swept under the rug in 10 years' time. that we move away from this Guardiola Klopp era that never fucking existed in the first place, because winning four Premier League titles in a row means nothing to winning one in front of an empty stadium, or you know, winning a treble means nothing to winning a Champions League on a handball when a player was pointing at his teammate and looking in another direction. I'm so hell bent on ensuring that this conversation stops the fucking minute he leaves town, because it's not a conversation worth having. And if it was the other way around, let's get this very fucking clear. If it was the other way around, and in the past 7 years, Liverpool have won five titles, a Champions League, a couple of FA Cups, won a treble, it wouldn't be the Klopp Guardiola era. It would be the Klopp era.
Yeah.
And everybody sitting here and probably everybody listening to this knows that's true.
I this is a conversation that we've had before, and it's probably a conversation for another day. I don't dispute the Pep v Klopp era, because that implies competition and that there can be a winner. Like, it's existed. They've been the two best teams over this period.
But that's not the narrative. Better than the other. The narrative isn't one was better than the other. The narrative is these two great competitors who are on level footing equals. Went head to head for 6 or 7 years. And that has never been the case. If that was the narrative, fine.
Look, you could get a job in the Ministry of Truth from 1984 with propaganda like that, Mr. Booker, and probably the best place to leave this episode. But like I said, this debate will rumble on long after this current title race. Listeners, let us know your predictions. Who's gonna win the league? Is Liverpool gonna win 10 games on the bounce? Is City gonna win 2 games between now and the end of the season? Let us know. But Joe, I'd say thank you for the positivity. It's probably been more positive than Sunday, but when Adam and I are the two positive ones, then
there's a reason why I was voted second least positive in the of the City Report. The City Report contributors.
I think the term was most miserable.
Ironically, I was trying to be positive about that and say least positive. But, there you go. So there's my ray of sunshine brought to this one. But yeah, thank you very much.
No, absolute pleasure. It's been fun. Adam, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. There was a debate between people in the group chat today, and Oliver Kirsch and I were actually a united front on one stance. So, you know, the tides are changing.
Yeah, Russia and the US can combine forces every now and again. That'll do, listeners, before we ramble on anymore. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you tomorrow. See you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season run-in with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.